Okay, gentlemen, good morning. I thought we would make a recording and have a podcast today. Is there anything worth talking about in the news recently?
just a little bit, eh?
We had
nothing,
of course,
I can think of.
No, okay. We're recording this Tuesday morning, and so just I'm sure our listeners would be aware of these facts already, but just in terms of what transpired last night and even into this morning, the Liberals under Mark Carney secure a minority government with 168 seats. So they gained 16. Conservatives gained 24 seats, totaling 144. But of course, Pierre Poilievre loses his seat in Carleton. NDP reduced to 7 seats from 24. So they lost 17. For those trying to do the math at home, their leader, of course, also loses his seat and then subsequently resigns, which was maybe an open question before the night began. So we'll just start here. Daniel, Ryan, in one word, how would you describe election night? Daniel, let's start with you.
Oh, in one word.
So pick a word and then you can expand on it.
I mean, I'd say probably unsurprising, based on the recent polls. You know, it's surprising, I guess, if you were looking at the polls 3 months ago. But on recent polls, the Liberals were actually polling a fair bit higher than they actually ended up getting. But I think it was unsurprising in the sense of, I think a lot of people kind of expected a minority government coming out of this election. Just given a lot of political fluctuations, of course, but I think a lot of people were expecting a minority government, some conservative, some liberal, but not too surprising the result that came out in the end, I don't think.
Good. Ryan, Daniel already took the easy choice there. What would be your one word?
Mine would be just different. It was very different, as in previous years, it was really a two-horse race. And we haven't had that in a long time in this country. And as a result, you know, you saw huge popular vote numbers for both the Liberals and the Conservatives. I was just telling you guys just before we hopped on that, for example, the popular vote that the Conservatives had, that would have been enough to win every election since 1988. And so we really saw very, very little impact from the Greens, from the Bloc, who still end up with 23 and are, you know, poised to be kingmakers. But they dropped a substantial amount of their popular vote. And then obviously the NDP, the bottom completely fell out of their vote. And so it was just really different in that we haven't seen a two-horse race like this since the 80s.
Right. So, Ryan, maybe following up on that, given the NDP's results, do you see them remaining as a major player in Canadian politics after this?
So what's interesting is that, like, one of the things that I think that could possibly be the fallout out of this election, their leader resigned. You know, is it possible that the NDP packs it in? And there's really one option on the left. And if they did do that and they, you know, joined with the Liberals, that would give them a majority. You know, we have to wait and see what happens in the next couple of weeks, but I actually think that, you know, the complete, I don't know if the word obliteration of their vote could possibly make that reality in the coming weeks.
And it would seem like it's almost the case that their voters have already made that decision for them, in a sense, right? It would seem like their results are because of strategic voting in many ridings, voting for the Liberal Party. And so it's almost like their voters are making that decision for them already. I guess there's an open question whether, in terms of a subsequent leader, if they go in a direction of kind of a more established politician like Rachel Notley, or do they push even further to the left, kind of a more extreme left-wing candidate, and maybe that'll end up being kind of part of where they go from here.
The one thing that I do think is interesting is that, you know, if Jagmeet Singh is gone, you know, kind of what's left, they have some soul searching to do. Who knows?
Maybe kind of one last intro sort of question, Daniel. What's to you, what's the most surprising outcome of this election? And you can either maybe look at, you know, if we look at the last 6 months in a broader view, or even just, you know, in terms of the last week.
Yeah, well, I guess I can maybe quickly say a little bit of both. I mean, certainly in the last few months, just a major turnaround, right? I think most of Canada was expecting a conservative majority until Donald Trump came onto the scene and until Justin Trudeau resigned and Mark Carney took over as Liberal leader. So that's certainly a major shift, something that's fairly surprising in kind of the broader scheme of elections. In terms of more specific details, I mean, I was probably most surprised that that Pierre Poilievre lost his seat. He was running in his eighth election in Carleton. It's a neighboring riding to mine, actually. So it's kind of, you know, nearby. We drove through, saw all his signs everywhere. And as much as the polling before this election was generally better for the Liberals than the actual result that they got, polling in Carleton was that Pierre Poilievre would win his seat again. So that was an upset, I guess. And Ottawa kind of broadly went pretty strongly for the Liberals, even though other regions of the country were higher vote percentage, higher support for the Conservatives.
I think one of the mistakes, I don't know if it was a mistake, but you make a comment about cutting the civil service in an Ottawa riding. You know, it harkens back to PC leader Tim Hudak here in Ontario saying we're going to cut 100,000 jobs in the province, and that was the end of him. So it's kind of a similar thing, as in it ended up hurting him, I think, a lot in his own personal riding.
Yeah, everyone wonders, is it my job that's going to be cut?
Exactly.
Very good. Why don't we pivot a little bit to what we might call ARPA issues, or issues particularly of concern for our supporters, for Christians more broadly. So I'm thinking of euthanasia, of so-called medical assistance in dying. I think, you know, Daniel, maybe you could just, you know, even a 30-second soundbite for our listeners. What is the Liberals' position on MAID in terms of, sometimes we talk about track one, track two, we might call track three, the mental health expansion. So maybe just a real quick overview, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, so it was the Liberals, of course, that initially legalized euthanasia, initially to people who were nearing their natural death, and then expanded that in 2021 to people who were not nearing their natural death, so people with disability, chronic illness. And then in 2027, the Liberals delayed it a couple times. In 2027, that will expand to people with mental illness as well, unless something is done. The interesting thing, I think, is that Mark Carney is a new Liberal leader. He didn't say anything about euthanasia during the campaign. So the Liberal government over the past 10 years has advanced euthanasia to the point where it is today, with support from opposition parties, of course. But Mark Carney hasn't made his views clear on that. So I think maybe there's some opportunity to see about what can be done with his government to stop that expansion.
Right, good. So on that note, maybe I can ask, you know, Bill C-314, which was Ed Fast's bill to remove rather than push out expansion, or sometimes use the term sunset clause, rather than push out expansion to mental illness, C-314, which was defeated, would have removed mental illness as a basis for MAID altogether. What are the chances of finding a Liberal MP who might support a bill similar to C-314?
I think it would be possible as long as the party allows it. So that's kind of the challenge, is what kind of party discipline there will be under Mark Carney. But the Conservatives opposed the mental illness expansion. The NDP opposed the mental illness expansion. The Green as well. And then a number of Liberals. So that bill was fairly close to passing. And I think the Liberals were very strong in wanting the delay. So I think there's a possibility, certainly, that a Liberal could introduce a private member's bill of that sort, if allowed, or otherwise potentially one of the opposition MPs.
I think another interesting element on that is two things. There were eight that were pretty strong that opposed it, and they were vocal in their opposition, spoke on the issue. They didn't just vote with Bill C-314. But the other element is both justice ministers that brought about the first set of laws around euthanasia, assisted suicide, and then the expansion in 2021, those justice ministers are both gone. And so there's a little bit of an ability to kind of like distance themselves from both the prime minister, distance themselves from the justice minister, and kind of say, yeah, maybe we stepped a little bit far out there on this one. We should back this thing up, and we're not stepping on anybody's toes because they're gone. So I think that there's a possibility. The reality is the government is going to have to deal with this. The sunset clause, that was always the reality. The 2027 pushback. The next government's going to have to deal with it, and they're going to have to deal with it. And I just don't see the public going to allow the status quo to continue on this, and that's a good thing.
Yes. So gentlemen, you know, there's obviously, I would say even more than a hint of optimism here on this one issue in particular, and being able to roll back the progress that's been made. Progress is the wrong word to use there, but so maybe I can, you know, sometimes in these kinds of settings, we kind of wait for the application at the end, but you know, Ryan, maybe I can put it to you here before we pivot to another issue. What can Christians do? What can ARPA supporters do? Maybe I have a new Liberal MP in my riding. Maybe I have a re-elected Liberal MP. What can I do to get this issue on the table? If knowing the facts that you guys mentioned, that it's certainly not a done deal that we're going to have mental illness as a basis for MAID, there's an opportunity here. How can I as an individual Christian, maybe in my church with others, how can I pick this up and try and work towards a rollback?
Yeah, I think first and foremost is take the opportunity to congratulate your MPP or your MP on their win, their election. Start a conversation with them. So that's first and foremost. But yeah, you can bring it up. I'd encourage people to bring it up with them. And I would bring up not just, you know, the pause button on mental illness, but I would bring up, you know, the rollback on people with disabilities, because we're seeing a lot more people in the public. This isn't just a conservative issue. People are really concerned about the expansion of euthanasia, not just the mental health part, but the expansion to that happened in 2021 to people with disabilities. And in the end, we're taking the lives of people that are the most in the most difficult positions socially in our country. And people are realizing that this is a problem. It shouldn't be happening. And so we need to be having these conversations with these elected officials. And you know, our work starts today. There's an election, and in many ways, our work kind of stops. You know, have conversations, have them when you're you know, talking to potential MPs who want your vote. But now, really, our work starts today in engaging those that have been elected and talking to them about this kind of stuff.
Good. And just a plug: carenotkill.ca is ARPA's website on this issue. You'll find helpful resources there to be able to start that conversation with your MP. Why don't we pivot a little bit in terms of, or I should say, two dynamics within the Conservative Party. So there would see, you know, my observation anyway, and feel free to disagree, is at least in some ridings, in some areas, there's a tension between the party's base and the leadership. There's certainly a tension, I think, between the part of the party's base that are socially conservative, that are Christians, that are ARPA supporters. There's a tension there between the Conservative Party leadership and our supporters, certainly, and maybe the Conservative base more broadly. So to put maybe a couple of questions out there, and maybe this is a tough one, Daniel, I'm going to throw this to you, especially in ridings where MPs were elected or reelected with very strong mandates, right? Results in the 60-70%. What's holding these MPs back from advocating more boldly on issues of life and public justice?
Yeah, I think there's a number of different factors. I mean, there is a degree where MPs advocate on these issues within the party, kind of, you know, to varying degrees of vocalness about these issues. That's not to excuse the ones who are less vocal per se, but to say that this kind of advocacy does happen within the party directly. But another factor is how much discipline does the leader have over the party? How much is the leader gonna allow MPs to say? How much is the leader gonna permit various levels of disagreement, especially about some of these controversial issues within the party? And then if he doesn't, how are those MPs gonna respond? So there's a lot of those different factors at play. I think especially where MPs are elected by a large margin, then the Christians in their riding also can hold them to account and say, hey, I voted for you. I voted for you because you share these views, or if they didn't vote for them, in fact, but you need to represent all your constituents, including the ones who are pro-life, the ones who are pro-family, and you need to be more vocal about that.
I think it's another element that's at play is, if they're listening, I'd encourage them to be bold. You have a seat, your leader doesn't. That means something. I think take advantage of that, not necessarily take advantage of it, but you were placed here for a reason. You know what's right and what's good. Go do what you know what's right and good, and do it with boldness. And also, again, realize and say it. I'm here. I was voted in, and the people knew who I was, and they voted me in. And I think, you know, my encouragement in all of this too is, you know, there are definitely even Reformed Christians that are engaged in politics and engaged in the Conservative Party. You know, they should be emboldened by also this result, because your leader needs you. If we were walking away with some of the numbers that we saw back in the fall and even the early winter before Christmas, you know, they were looking at like a supermajority of, you know, 200 and some odd conservative MPs. That's what, you know, some of the polling showed. The leader could afford to, you know, put the hammer down on a few, you know, rogue social conservatives. In this case, he doesn't have that luxury. He needs every single one of them. You know, everybody likes to wear some hats that have really cool slogans on it. You know, maybe the next hat is to make the Conservative Party conservative again. Maybe that would be a cool hat that people could start wearing. I don't know. Maybe that's the result of today's yesterday's election.
And it's certainly, you know, based on the results in terms of other parties that we frequently mention. So even if I'm just looking at the Elections Canada result, there are a handful of parties. We're not more than a handful. We're not going to mention them all. Marijuana Party, for example, got 130 votes. I don't know that merits comment. There's some other micro parties like that. But the other ones that are of interest to our supporters, certainly People's Party of Canada, 139,000 votes, 0.7% of the popular vote, which obviously is a significant step down from where they were last time. Christian Heritage Party, around 10,000 votes. in this election. I think they had a strong showing in terms of number of candidates, and I know they had a number of new candidates in ridings that didn't have candidates in the last few elections. And so it would seem that a number of our supporters, have been giving their votes, maybe their time and attention, maybe more than in past elections, to either one of those two parties. And so, is there? I don't know if there's a comment there, maybe in terms of going forward, strategy for Christians working within Ryan, like you mentioned, working within the Conservative Party of Canada versus support for either the CHP or the PPC.
Yeah, it's interesting. You noted the PPC. They had about 5% of the vote last time, and under 1%. You know, they went from 840,000 total votes to about only 140,000 total votes. When the overall, we had almost 10% more people vote this time than last time. So they kind of got dropped pretty quickly as fast as people picked them up. They got dropped, and I think last time they rode a lot of the concerns and frustration around COVID. That's why many people found their home with the PPC, and have subsequently made their way to other parties since then as well. But I would encourage, we encourage people to be engaged, not just in the part, like I said, the work that starts now and engaging elected officials, but engage in the parties themselves. And so continue to engage in the CHP and the PPC if you feel like those parties represent you and your values best. Continue to engage with other parties as well. The Conservative Party, I don't care, even the Liberal Party. Like, we're not an organization that points people to what party they have to engage with, but we do want people to engage with parties as well. That's where you can influence where parties stand on issues. Going to party conventions where party policies are talked about. Recently they just talked about the 20 or 21 year old policy of the Conservative Party of Canada to not bring in a bill about abortion. Well, maybe it's time to reverse that terrible policy, because you haven't been winning with it. So maybe it's time to win with without that terrible policy. And so it requires people to be engaged. To engage in the process, to engage in things like party conventions, to change party stances on these issues and move these things forward. So whether that is the Conservative Party, the Liberal Party, the PPC, the CHP, find ways to engage those parties to move these move good, godly, biblical policies forward.
We should, as we kind of pivot towards a conclusion here, some of this was mentioned already, but Daniel, maybe you can help us, in terms of our supporters. A number of our supporters are very active with their MPs, their MLAs, their MPPs. If I'm someone who has been engaged on the issues to some degree, but I've never really considered or attempted to build a relationship with my MP, maybe I think, why do they want to hear from me? Maybe I don't, Daniel, I don't know all the issues like you do. I don't know all the facts and the dates and bill numbers and that kind of thing. Maybe if I ask for a meeting with my MP, I'm going to be flustered, or, I'm going to kind of forget all the points. He's going to talk me under the table. Maybe I have that kind of anxiety about it. Where do I start? And what's the most effective way to build a relationship with an MP? And why do we say, so at ARPA, we say, relationships first, policy second. Why that emphasis? Why does it matter? So kind of how to build a relationship with an MP, and why does it matter?
Yeah, so there's a couple things there. So like you said, the first thing I think is trying to build that relationship. So whether it's a new MP or not, the first thing that we can do is congratulate our MPs on winning the election. It doesn't have to be tied even to any policy concerns, issues. Just, hey, you worked hard, you won the election, congratulations. There's various events that MPs might host throughout the year, you know, community barbecues, community free skates at Christmas time, you know, that kind of thing. That's a great place to go and just connect and say, hey, we're both people, let's talk about, you know, maybe what we agree on, maybe what we disagree on. And then as far as it comes to specific policy issues, once there's a little bit of connection, that also makes it easier to have conversations about some of the issues. As far as those issues are concerned, I mean, we're happy to help equip our supporters for that as well. If you want, you know, a one-page brief that you can leave with your MP on an issue, we can put that together. We can help people out. The one thing that, because we do lobbying as ARPA, and that's great. But the one thing that we face so often is the MPs or MPPs, MLAs provincially say, yeah, but where are my constituents who have these same ideas? So if they're hearing from us and they're hearing from our supporters on the same issues, they're actually much more likely to listen to voters who have a say in whether the MP gets elected or not.
Very good. Ryan, I think I've heard you talk before about meeting with MPs and praying with them, whether they are Christian MPs or not, or mentioning that. How maybe you could just tell us briefly how's, you know, your experience. You've met with a lot of elected officials. If I'm nervous, how do I start?
Yeah, I think Daniel kind of give a really good introduction to, you know, just developing a relationship. First and foremost, care about these people as people. They are people. They're image bearers, and we ought to just care about them. And if we care about them, well, then what's the best thing that we can do for them? And that's pray for them, pray with them. Yeah, we've had an opportunity to do that on a number of occasions, and they typically appreciate it. Even if they're not people that always are praying people, they appreciate because they know that it's an important thing for us. And so there's always an appreciation when you do that. And I just encourage people to do it. But if you're not, you know, if you're not feeling super comfortable about, you know, asking if you can do that, just be doing it at the very least at home. Can't stress that enough. I've been asked that many times, you know, what can we do? What's something I can do? And yes, we're definitely, there's action is the name of ARPA Canada. So we're definitely an organization that speaks about doing things and getting active. But the most important thing that people can do is pray and pray for their elected officials. That's why we have a prayer calendar that goes out every Monday morning. If people want to sign up for that, we remind them to be in prayer for their elected officials and prayer for different issues. As well. So we cannot stress that enough either. It's the most important part of our thankfulness, and it's the greatest tool that we have in our action, in our political action. So.
Very good. We're actually running short on time. I wanted to get a little bit to the potential for Alberta separatism, whether the results yesterday make that more or less likely. But we don't. I'm not sure we have time, so I'm just going to mention ARPA Canada has an open job for a Western grassroots coordinator, who's somebody ideally who would be based in Alberta. I'll just say, I hope that Alberta stays part of Canada long enough for us to hire and onboard a Western grassroots coordinator, be able to work with our supporters in Alberta. That's my hope. I'd like Alberta to stay part of our country, at least for that reason, if not many more. Well, why don't we? Yeah,
I don't have a lot to talk about, but I just wanted to mention, I did see, I think on the issue of separatism, I think a lot will hinge on what happens next. And I'd mentioned two things. One, Danielle Smith came out with a pretty fiery, congratulatory, but very firm letter today about, you know, we're not going to put up with this anymore. So I think that there's some sabers rattling out west already. But I think one thing that we should address, I actually really did appreciate Mark Carney's acceptance speech last night. Yes, I did stay up for it. He ended with talking of using the word humility. And we could be cynical and we could say, yeah, but you're just a banker and you're an elite. And but he talked about, you know, I've made mistakes, I'm going to make mistakes, but I promise to own my mistakes and correct them as fast as possible. And I don't know the last time I heard a politician say that or talk like that. And so I think we have to give him some credit for that. Now, yes, it's our job as citizens to hold him to account if he doesn't act with humility. But I would say that the talk and the rhetoric was not part of his acceptance speech yesterday night. And for that matter, it wasn't really there for Pierre Poilievre or even Jagmeet Singh. And so we can be grateful for a level of decorum that we saw last night, and hope that maybe that's going to be, you know, the hallmark or the thing that we look back to after this election, maybe a switch. And so I think I wanted to appreciate the fact that Mark Carney used the word humility, talked about humility, acknowledged mistakes, and acknowledged that he will make mistakes instead of, you know, taking the stance that I'll never make a mistake. I think that's worth mentioning. Also in terms of maybe how he decides to deal with Alberta. Hopefully there's a dealing with Alberta with respect and a recognition that I think most people can agree that Alberta has been pushed around. Well, maybe most people won't agree with me, but hopefully that comes to the table when he talks with them and negotiates with them.
Very good. Let's conclude, Daniel. I'm going to give you the final question here. What gives you hope for the future of Christian political advocacy in Canada?
Well, at a very ultimate level, that Christ is still king, certainly. The election results of last night, again, were guided by God's providential hand. And we move forward in faith, knowing that he is in control. I guess a little bit more kind of directly, no matter who would have won this election, whether that's Carney or Poilievre or any other leader, they're still going to be, we're still going to need to push our issues, no matter who the leader is. They're not issues that are popular for politicians, but they're issues that we need to hold our politicians to account on. And we continue to do that. There's a number of good, solid Christian MPs who we can work alongside of in doing that, and many solid Christian Canadians who we can work alongside in doing that as we, seek to advance biblical principles in Canada for the next however long this government is and beyond that as well.
And I think there's also opportunities to find common ground. Like I think of things around pornography, where, you know, you had all party agreement on some of this stuff. And I see those as really great opportunities to find common ground on things that, you know, I think everybody, Christian or not, would agree that we shouldn't have young people having access to things like pornography. And so we can be hopeful that on the macro level that, you know, I talked to this about with a friend last night too. It's like, Christ is king and he's going to be king tomorrow, regardless of who the prime minister is today. But then on the micro level, things like finding common ground on things like pornography and protecting our kids from the harms of pornography, where, you know, something like that has all party support. So let's continue to move and advocate for things like that, find common ground as best we can, and continue to bring the truth to the public square.
And for us to remember, of course, the words of Daniel chapter 2, he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. It's the Lord who removes kings and raises them up. And in the well-known words of Psalm 146, too, for Christians perhaps today who are disappointed, maybe you're disappointed in the national results. Maybe you're disappointed that your candidate didn't win. We're reminded not to put our trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. Yet happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Gentlemen, thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Take care.